have two scripture readings this evening. I want us to firstly turn to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Our first reading will be from Numbers 22. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 28 of Numbers 22. Numbers 22, beginning at the verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he was whom, who thou blessest, is blessed, and he whom thou cursest, is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balaam, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up, and go with them. Yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning, and saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her in the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again, and the angel of the Lord went further, and stood in a narrow place, where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Amen. Thus far the reading of the first portion of God's holy word. We now turn in our Bibles to our regular systematic study of 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 9 through to verse 15. We've already considered previously in our studies up to verse 13, but for the sake of the context and understanding of the setting here, we'll read from verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 2 and stop at the end of verse 16. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May God bless his own holy word to us. Congregation, with your Bibles open there, please, in 2 Peter chapter 2. We have considered verses 9 to 13 before, but I want to consider these verses in the light of this man Balaam. Before we get to Balaam, you'll be fully aware by now, I trust, as we have studied at least this section of 2 Peter, that Peter is instructing us concerning identifying and avoiding apostates. Just as there were false prophets in times past among the people, verse 1, even there shall be false teachers among you. You remember that in verse 9, the Apostle Peter, under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes two central points. And that is this, that God, the Lord, knows how to deliver the godly out of their temptations. And then the second point that he makes in that verse 9 is that the Lord knows how to reserve the unjust or the ungodly under punishment for the day of judgment. In the first 8 verses of this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2, what the apostle does is he opens up how the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of their temptations, and he uses two examples, Lot and of course Noah. The Lord delivered them. By way of example, he speaks about Lot and he speaks about Noah. Those two men lived, both of them, in great days of wickedness. And we too are living in great days of wickedness. And you can be assured, just as the Lord knew how to deliver Noah and Lot out of that time of darkness, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of that time of temptation. Now, of course, both of those men went in the way of sin. Noah fell to drunkenness. Lot vexed his own soul, we're told, by permitting himself to live with the wicked. For many years, Lot stubbornly lived amongst the wicked. He should have come out from among them. But the Lord delivered Lot by sending two angels to deliver him. Now, that does not mean to say that we should ever tempt the Lord. But we can say this, that the Lord knows how to deliver us out of those temptations. The Lord does effectively deliver his people. And then what we've begun to see in verses 10, and we'll continue on to verse 22, is that the Lord, the second part of the argument expounded and developed, is that the Lord knows how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And we considered last time, what are some of the marks of those that are unjust, those who are apostate, those who are false teachers, and all them that follow in the way of apostasy. Not only false teachers, but them that follow their teaching. And so what Peter does by way of example, he uses this man Balaam to show how the Lord knows how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So Balaam is taken as the great example. Now we may ask ourselves, why Balaam? Well, probably because Balaam was the most notorious sinner, the most notorious false prophet and apostate teacher of all in the Old Testament. There were certainly a number of false prophets, but Balaam seems to stand out because of the great harm that he did. But not only that, the great knowledge and insight that he was given. I mean, this man actually prophesied the truth, and yet he was not of God. That's quite remarkable. I think the greatest miracle in the story of Balaam is not so much the donkey speaking, but that this man, who was not a godly man, would actually prophesy the word of God. Balaam, as we have already seen in our reading of Numbers chapter 22, was a very selfish man, a very sinful man, a very self-willed man. And indeed, that we've begun to see that this is one of the marks that Peter uses to describe or identifies those who are apostate. They are self-willed, presumptuous, and he certainly was those two things. But I think one of the reasons why Peter uses Balaam here is because, above all the things that Balaam did, not only was he knowledgeable, and not only was he false in his claiming to follow God, but he did so much harm, he caused so much trouble. And the Lord has certainly not forgotten that. The Lord has not forgotten Balaam to this day. And the Lord does not forget those who cause harm and trouble to his church. We said last week, never think that false teachers and wicked people will ever get away with it. Balaam was a very devious man. I think the most dangerous thing about him is that he was so subtle, and that's what made him so dangerous. He seemed to be good, but he was such a dangerous man. It is said that Balaam was a man reaching out for both worlds, reaching out for heaven, reaching out for the riches of this world, but in fact he lost both. He didn't get either. Balaam was not a man that had a burden for God. He was not a man that had a heart for God. He seemed to have a religion. He seemed to have a form of godliness. But he was very far from God. He made no personal sacrifices. Religion for him was about reward, about reputation, and not about personal and genuine repentance and revival of the heart. That was not at the heart of Balaam's religion. For Balaam, it was about personal gain, about reward, about reputation. He was a man of great reputation. Nevertheless, Balaam received the word of God, and that's a most remarkable thing. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Balaam believed the word of God. Not only did he receive the word of God, but he actually believed it. And what's quite remarkable, what's most frightening, is that Balaam proclaimed the word of God. When the children of Israel, maybe you want to turn back there to Numbers 22. We read there in Numbers 22 that when the children of Israel were increasing, the Moabites began to be anxious, to worry. And they thought that the Israelites would lick them up off the face of the earth. They'd come out of Egypt. But you know, if they'd ever read the scriptures or ever inquired into these things, if they read Deuteronomy 2, verse 9, they would soon realize that God said to his people, "Do not harass Moab or contend them in battle." The people of God were never a threat to the Moabites. If you look there at Numbers 22, verse 3, it says, "And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people of Israel, because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel." Now, in particular, their king, we read about him here, King Balak. So what happened? This King Balak, king of the Moabites, sought Balaam, this hired prophet, a man of international renown. He sought him to come and to curse the people of God. "Come down. We Moabites were in trouble. Come down and curse the people of God." King of the Moabites was worrying about something that was never really going to happen, because I've told you that already from Deuteronomy, that God said to his people, "Do not harass Moab nor contend with them." Balaam, so he was a prophet by half, we could say. He knew only half the truth, but what he knew was dangerous. But you know, Balaam at first seemed to be, "Oh well, I'm not going to do this. I can't curse the people of God." But this man, Balaam, who was part prophet and part soothsayer, he really was a prophet for hire. There was a price tag on everything that he did. And it's always the way for them that are false. There's always a price. There's always a price. But you see, for the Christian, for the man of God, nothing can replace God and the kingdom of God. This man, there was a price. In fact, when we read about this man, Balaam, Moses doesn't mix his words here. He says Balaam was for hire. All he was concerned about was money. He was a professional prophet. Balaam, he had no integrity. He had no morals. He had no commitment to God. He sold his religion for money, as he sold his own soul. Everything had a monetary price on it. That was the thinking of Balaam. That was the mindset of Balaam. And so it is always the way of them that are false. There's a price tag. He is a man of great knowledge and considerable ability. Yet this money-grabbing soul was utterly bankrupt before God. No riches in heaven. His riches he had amassed here on earth. And all he could think about was how to get gain. No love for God. It was all a pretense. He had a form of religion. It looked like he was the real thing, but he was not. Not at all. He was a man of considerable fame. Just to give you some idea of the extent of Balaam's fame, in 1967, in an unprecedented discovery, an ancient text found at Deir Alla, a piece of temple wall was dug up in Jordan. That's 1967. Alla is located about 25 miles north of this area, where the Jabbok River flows into the Jordan Valley. The fragment that was found tells us about the activities of this prophet Balaam, and it's written in that fragment, Balaam, the son of Beor, the seer of the gods. Now, there's nobody else that fits that description but this man, Balaam. He was renowned, international renowned. Three times in the first four lines on that fragment, he is referred to as Balaam, the son of Beor, exactly as we read it in the Bible. When you get down to verse 6 here of Numbers 22, Balak, the king of the Moabites, as we've said already, wanted to curse God's people because he was sore afraid. Balak tempted Balaam with great rewards, and the stakes got higher and higher. We read these words of Balaam. Even if Balak, and he tells us to the servants that come to offer this reward, even if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. What a liar. What a liar. Sounds good. And there are people in the church that will say that. Oh, I respect God. Oh, I respect the pastor. Oh, I respect the church. But give them half a chance. Their actions don't match their words. You will see this man. Balaam's response seems to be admirable. These words seem to be convincing. Doesn't it look convincing there? Even if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot, I will not, cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. Seems convincing. Now we would be convinced, wouldn't we, if his actions spoke otherwise. Now as the story progresses, you know it well, we've read it. What is revealed is that these words do not reflect Balaam's heart. Now there's a lesson for you and for me tonight. Be careful of your words. They don't always match your heart. You'll be judged for your words. Watch your words. You see, it only is after a number of pleas, as the stakes get higher, the rewards get higher, he was drawn into this deal, to make a deal. And people do. People make deals with their sin every day. But the people of God, they walk in the ways of righteousness, but not this man. Look at verse 12. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, even after God speaks to him directly and gives him orders and instructions, what does he do? He knows it's wrong, but now God speaks to him directly. He goes ahead. You know, even after warnings from your pastor, even after warnings from the Word of God, people will still do it. They're going to do what they're going to do. And just because you say you're not going to do something, if you've said in your heart to do it, be careful. Be aware. Don't entertain these thoughts. When God's Word says don't do it, you don't have to think about it. You don't do it. But Balaam doesn't even obey the Word of God, even after God's explicit and direct command to him. Even after God, as we read later on, send a message to a donkey that speaks. Now you would think that, you know, that might get him to stop. I mean, if an animal spoke to you, you would stop, wouldn't you? I mean, that's a miracle. But even with a donkey speaking with a man's voice, he didn't listen. And what's more, even when the angel of the Lord is there, and the angel of the Lord rebukes him, the donkey rebukes him, he doesn't listen. And what's more, each time, if you read on in the story, in the following chapters, this prophet, every time he went to go to curse the people of God, every time he went up to curse, all that came out of his mouth was blessing. All he could do was bless the people. You would think that might make him think. No, that doesn't make him think. God has power even over me. That does not make him think. You know, it's the same like this, you know. Sometimes Christians go on in the way of sin. Often God will do something to get them to stop. But will they stop? No. They will not. It's a sharp warning. So every time Balaam attempted to curse the people of God, his words turned to blessing. And to the point where Balak was almost driven mad. Because he was saying, how come I told you to curse the people of God? How come you're blessing them? I mean, he's driving the person that's paying him mad. And you would think that might make him stop. But that doesn't make him stop. None of this power, none of these signs are making this man stop. None of those things can remove his love for money, his lust for things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the vainglory of life. And my friends, let me tell you this. There's another lesson. There's no power in this world that will drive away your lust for the things of this world. There's no power in you that will drive that away. Except God convert your heart. Except God change your nature. Except God break you over your sin. Now, what is very sad, even though this man Balaam could not curse the people of God, what he did manage to do is cause the people of God to compromise with God. Because he very subtly, this man knew the weakness of sinful, fallen human beings. And that's what we all are. We're all fallen, we're all sinful, we're weak. And this man knew exactly how to get God angry with his people. And he put a plan, he put a scheme in the mind of Balak. And what was that? To send the Moabitess woman, the prostitutes, amongst the people of God. To entice them. To get the men to sleep with them. And that way, you see, that way, God would judge his people. That's a wicked man. Very wicked man. And that's the life of Balaam. Man who claims to love God. And you see, you might think, well, Balaam, I could never do that. I could never do something like that. But you know, you can be an enemy of the church by enticing sin into the church, just by your habits, your sinful habits, your attitudes. Maybe you want to see the pastor fall, you see. You want to see him go in some sin. Or maybe you want to see some other Christian sin that you may be elevated, and others think more of you. What's that? That's pride. That's so you can get what you want, so you can get the praise of others. There are so many ways in which the devil operates. Oh, I've seen it. You've seen it. The devil is the craftiest of all. And if the devil cannot get us to curse the people of God, he will surely get them to compromise. Well, this Balaam did. He caused the people of God, the people of Israel, to compromise at the place called Baal Peor. Having failed to curse the people of God, because every time he went to curse the people of God, all he could do was bless them. He turned to dirty tricks. It's not to say that cursing was not horrific in itself, but this is so subtle, so calculated. He introduced these thoughts into Balak's mind and how he could make God displeased with his people. And so as Balaam saw them encamped around at a distance with Balak, he put this plan into his mind. Numbers 25:1, we read, "And Israel abode at Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself with Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all of the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor." My friends, God cannot tolerate sin amongst his people. And God must judge. But woe to the man who causes them to stumble. God is reserving Balaam for the day of judgment because of this. And so under Balaam's suggestion, the prostitutes of Moab begin this sensual orgy of lewdness and idolatry. And they cause the people of God to worship other gods. What a tragedy this was. Children of God sinned, and that day thousands perished. Numbers chapter 31 and verse 8, we're told that at the end, Balaam died in a battle amongst the corpses in the battlefield. One of his prayers that he might die the death of the righteous. But God judged him in that battlefield. And so ended the life of a man who once said in Numbers 23:10, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and may my end be like theirs." Now, friends, you might have the desire to die the death of a righteous. So did Balaam. It's one thing to have desires. It's one thing to be in heaven. But you'll never be in heaven if you don't love God. You might want to be thought well of people. And who doesn't? But if you don't love God, if you don't love holiness, you won't be in heaven. You might say, "Oh, let me die the death of a Christian." But if you don't love God, you'll never be with him. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about Balaam. Moses speaks of Balaam. Joshua speaks of Balaam. Nehemiah speaks of Balaam. Micah speaks of Balaam. Peter speaks of Balaam. Jude speaks of Balaam. John speaks of Balaam. Peter does. But lastly, Christ speaks of him. In Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of him. We won't look at those words now, perhaps a little bit later. But here, as we come back, if you turn back in your Bibles to 2 Peter, Peter wants us to be warned about the ways of Balaam, them that are the way of Balaam, because there are scores of people who are just like Balaam. Does that mean to say they'll prophesy? No, doesn't. What is the way of Balaam? It's a way of deception. It's a way of lust. It's the way of love for money, reputation. That's the way of Balaam. It marks most apostasy, doesn't it? What does it mean when he says there will be many like Balaam? Well, Balaam's characteristics will be seen in certain people. And friends, if the Scripture warns us about this, we need to listen to this warning. And we need to take heed to it. The day we think we know better than the Word of God is the day we need to turn to a different book. But I trust that you believe that this Bible tells the truth and gives these warnings that you may not go in the way of Balaam. Friends, these words are given to the early church, and it's meant for us too. There's this warning that there are men in the church, and they were walking, as Peter says here, feasting among you, that are of this wayward kind, the way of Balaam, and you need to take heed lest you become like them, or be followers of them, or be enticed. Peter talks about the way of Balaam. Look at verse 15. Picking up from where we were last week, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now there are a number of things that I want to think about tonight about Balaam as we've got time left. The first thing is he was a liar. This man, if we're going to think about anything about Balaam, is he was a liar. He was a pretender. He pretended to love God, but he didn't love God. Well, I worship God, I worship Yahweh, but he was a liar. Are you lying about your relationship with God? Be careful, because that's one of the marks of Balaam. He was a liar. He lied to himself. You know, it's easy to be self-deceived. Oh, I want to die the death of a righteous. Self-deceived. Second thing is, he had a religion. He prayed to God. God even communicated to him. He prayed to God. Don't think because you pray, you're somehow safe. The issue is, do you love the God you pray to? This man prayed to God. His religion was good so long as things were going well for him. Lord, I'll serve you and I'll follow you, Lord. And I'll even tell the rest of the world, not all the gold or the silver can ever buy me from my God. And you might even tell God that. But are you trusting in your keeping of your own soul? Do you have no confidence in the flesh? Do you have no confidence in yourself? You see, that's where you must begin. The Christian says, I don't keep myself. I'm even wary of my own prayers. I don't trust myself. Third thing we could say is he was materialistic. Very materialistic. Are you materialistic? You know, the Lord knows what each and every one of us needs. Some people are meant to be wealthy so that they can distribute and help others. But some people are perhaps not meant to be. Maybe you need to thank God that he keeps you poor. The psalmist says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but let me be content with the riches, Lord, that you have given me. He was materialistic. Now, does Peter need to be so strident and so strong in his warnings? Yes, he does. Because as John tells us, and as Jesus tells us, that the love of money is the root of all evil. You have a love for money. Do you have a love for riches? Do you have a love for popularity, to be well thought of? Well, the warning to the church is here, friends, and is posed to us, is that this is a real danger. Take note. This was a man who loved money. He was materialistic. The fourth thing we could say is that Balaam knew the truth, but he deliberately went astray. Now, you can know the truth, you can know the gospel, but you see, Balaam deliberately went astray. If you turn in your Bibles to Jude verse 11, this word translated in the Greek here does not just simply mean that he slipped into error, but that he ran greedily after error. This is deliberate, willful going astray. Jude 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Now, what is the error of Balaam? For reward, it says. For reward, money. He deliberately went in that way of error. It's not just like a mistake. It's not like he just accidentally went wrong. God was speaking to him, telling him, don't do this. For reward, it says, and perished in the gainsaying, that is literally the rebellion of Kor or Korah. Korah were a rebellious group. God destroyed them. Gain, they wanted gain, they wanted the authority, the power of Moses. And what this man wanted was wealth. He knew God, talked with God, looked like the genuine article, but he deliberately went astray. After God warned him. Maybe God has been warning you. And you know something is wrong, but you deliberately refuse to hear what God is saying. You're a bailer. You will not hearken to God. He would not hearken. He would not listen to God. You know, Balaam's likenesses are seen throughout the ages. Many know God and many people know what is required of them in the Christian life, but they, being self-willed, go astray. You do what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. That's the way of Balaam. That's the way of being self-willed and deliberately going against God's word. Why? Because there's a price tag. There's a price tag. You see, God is not the most important thing or being in your life. You are. There's a price tag on their relationship with God. But God patiently entreats them as he does Balaam, and God did. Don't go in that way, Balaam. And God is saying to you tonight, don't go in that way of self-will and error, but they go the way they want. And you go the way you want, because your will is not bent to the will of God. And so you go your way. Now, if you remember last week, what is the end of such? Well, it's the damnation of their souls, and it will be the damnation of your soul. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is destruction. You might think it's okay to play around with sin, play around with materialism, and to play around with God, but it's not okay. It's not okay. Now, we began to see last week here in 2 Peter 2 a number of characteristics that mark out such people who are the way of Balaam. And essentially, really, he kind of begins earlier on in verse 10, because that is the mark of all apostates, all false, not only teachers, but followers of God. People who don't follow God, who pretend to follow God. But let's, for the sake of time, just pick up at verse 15 here for the moment, and then we'll come back perhaps if we've got a minute. It says in verse 15, which have forsaken the right way. See, there's always a right way, friend. And that way is God's way, isn't it? There's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's not your way and there's not the pastor's way. There's God's way. That's it. And I'm trying to be faithful to you and to God by saying that there is a right way. And that's God's way. It's not the way you want to go, but he forsook the right way. And that's what the text tells us here. The narrow way, the way of faithfulness. What should he have done? He should have been faithful. He should have said and stuck by his words, right? He should have said, no amount of money will ever get me to do that, and stuck by that. And never say the devil tempted me. I'm sick of hearing that. James tells us that every man is tempted in his own heart when he's drawn away by his own lust. Not the devil. He forsook the right way, the narrow way, the way of faithfulness, the way of humility. And God doesn't tempt, does he? But this man went in the wrong way. He forsook the right way and had gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. That was his problem. Materialism, wages of sin, is death. Verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. The donkey stopped the madness of this prophet. He was rebuked for his sin, for his iniquity. And that's the fifth thing that you see here about this man. Balaam was rebuked for his sin, but he did not hearken. He did not listen. He did not stop, but he rebelled. I mean, God stopped him there by a donkey and by the angel of the Lord. But what did he do? He carried on. And so it is for them that, and I've seen this too many times in the church, where people are corrected, they've done something wrong, were they're thinking wrong, were they living wrong, and the pastor comes alongside them and corrects them. They refused that correction. They rebuked in love. But they rebel. And they carry on. Now, why does God rebuke us? Because he loves us. Turn with me just quickly. Hebrews 12, verse 4. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son," listen, "my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." I'm going to stop there for a minute. Don't move from that passage. When you are corrected, whether it's by a donkey, or by the Lord, or by another Christian, or by a pastor, or by anybody, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. When you're corrected, don't get angry. Do you see that? Don't get angry. Don't get rebellious. Don't say, "I don't need this." No. Look at verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. That is, you don't belong to God if he doesn't chasten you. Friends, be encouraged. In the early part of your Christian life, you make so many mistakes. And when others lovingly come alongside and correct you, don't get angry. This was Balaam's problem. He should have listened to the Lord. Sixthly, Balaam was a man that walked after the flesh. That was his problem. He walked after what he wanted, not after the Spirit, not to please God. He did what he wanted. He wasn't living every day to say, "How can I please God? How can I bless others? Instead of curse the people of God, how can I do them good?" All he was doing is thinking about himself. And that's how immature Christians think. And we have to begin, friends, to think about what is best for others and for the glory of God. That's what we need to think about. Balaam was a man that walked after the flesh. In fact, this is what verse 10 tells us. "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness." Well, what was unclean about him? He was a man of great pride. He had a great reputation. And that's what fueled him. He despised authority. He thought nothing of Moses and the people of God. He despised dignities. And remember, that's what Peter was saying. But remember, Peter says, look, these kind of people, don't be surprised they feast among you. Sometimes they're there at the Lord's table. Sometimes they're there sat in front of you at the church. Don't be surprised. Seventhly, Balaam was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. Self-deceived. You know, I mean, how could you ever think that God was not going to deal with you harshly if you were going about doing these things? It's crazy to think you're going to get away with your sin. He was a dreamer. On the one hand, he wanted to die the death of the righteous, but he lived such an unrighteous life. And maybe you're like that. You're living how you want, and you say, "I want to die the death of the righteous." My friend, if you are not living the righteous life, you are not saved. I'm not saying that the Christian is perfect, but he's at least living for God. He's not living in a dream world. Here this man appears to have fellowship with God, but he's not in fellowship. Now, let me ask you, what's your prayer life like? What's your Bible reading like? What's your walk with the Lord like? Don't say, "I want to die the death of the righteous." If I'm not walking closely with the Lord, or I'm not walking with the Lord, you'll be a dreamer, just like Balaam. You know, you can't live for two worlds. You're either living for this life or the life to come. He was a dreamer. He talked with God, yet with his actions, he was actually working against God and cursing the people of God. You know, you can say one thing, but live something completely different to what you say. And that's exactly what this man did. Working against God and the people of God. Eighthly, Balaam was a calculated and cold-hearted man. Calculated. What he did was enticed. He's very subtle, very sly. Always playing with dangerous ideas. Do you play with dangerous ideas? Do you toy with cheating the Lord? You know, there's so many ways you can cheat the Lord. You can cheat the Lord out of your tithes. You can cheat the Lord every day by not praying to him. You steal away his time. But he thought that the Lord was not taking note even of his thoughts. I'll stand there and I'll just tell Balak to send the prostitutes there. Calculated. Cold. I'll somehow not be involved in that. I'll get what I want in a very subtle, roundabout way. And people are very clever at that. Getting exactly what they want. But it looks like they didn't orchestrate it. Balaam was a very calculated and cold-hearted. How could he do that? How could he do that? You know, we have to respect not only the people of God, but God himself. I mean, are you so cold-hearted not as to give God your best? And not to give Christians your best, your love, and your devotion? We're sometimes so cold-hearted. Jesus said this of Balaam in Revelation 2:14 when he writes to the churches, he says, to the church, he says, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. You know, he taught some terrible things. And you know, you can be guilty of that. You can teach other people to sin by what you do. Let me ask, do you work on pleasing God and his people, or edifying God's people? He was quite happy to curse God's people. How do you speak of other Christians? You know, God will judge you the way you speak of those whom Christ has died for. How do you speak of your fellow Christians? How do you speak of those who you claim to love, your own family, your own flesh and blood? James tells us that with the tongue we bless and we curse. It's a dangerous thing, the tongue. Balaam did both. He blessed and he cursed. Ninthly, Balaam was presumptuous. Peter says this is the mark of all false teachers. They're presumptuous. He presumed on many things that he was going to get away with this. Mark it down, friends. God will not only judge you for every word and hold you accountable for every word, but your actions will be tried. Your works will be tried. And one of the things is, Peter tells us about these false teachers. They're presumptuous and they talk about things that they don't understand. Now, you may not always understand everything, but be careful with your words and be careful what you say about other people, because the Lord hears and the Lord judges. And the Lord did not tolerate him, and the Lord will not tolerate that. Tenthly, he was self-willed. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. That was his whole problem. His whole life was, what can I get? What's in it for me? Is that how you're living? See, the Christian doesn't live a self-willed life anymore. He says, Father, thy will be done. Not my will, but your will. My life is now submitted to God. My life is now hidden in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Is that how you're living? Or you're living the self-willed life of what you can get out of life and what makes you happy? You know, you want to be happy? If you really want to find joy, find out what pleases God. And you'll find happiness. Another mark, we've seen it already, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And that's true for all them that go in their own way. They, They could care less about any authority, whether it's in the church or in the nation, and the powers that be that God has ordained. That's true. Another mark is they are made to be caught and destroyed. Look at that. That's true of everyone that goes by the way of Balaam. They are like brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. We've seen these things already in our previous studies, but they relate to Balaam and all that follow in the way of Balaam. They're spots and blemishes. You're no asset to the church. You're no joy to the church. You're a spot, you're a blemish. What you need to be is born again and changed by the grace of God. Clothed in Christ's righteousness, brought to humility, brought to nothing, brought to dust. And to see yourself as a nobody, and to see that the best thing you could ever do is to serve God. Friends, you will be these things if you do not have eyes for God. But you have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, verse 14. Beguiling, that is enticing, unstable souls. You'll be of no benefit to yourself and no benefit to others. They have unstable souls, and in heart they have exercised with covetous practices. The more you go on in sin, the harder you get in sin. And that is a dangerous thing. Where are you tonight? It says there lastly, cursed the children of God. Are you the way of Balaam? Done bad things against the children of God, or maybe even cursed their own children. Could be the tongue, could be the life. What does your tongue, what does your heart say about you? Are you the way of Balaam? Or are you somebody that wants to bless, wants to edify, wants to strengthen the people of God? Sometimes the way we've got to do that is speak the truth in love. If we're going to bless anybody, we've got to be truthful. Paul says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. In the church, friends, we are to be building up one another in the truth. Speak things in love and sincerity. And we need to be careful that when we make judgments, and we must make judgments, that we judge righteously, because the Lord will even hold us account to that. What we should be doing is building up one another in the Lord, encouraging, not cursing the people of God, not speaking evil, and not pronouncing bad, and not wanting bad for the people of God, but wanting good for them. This man did not love righteousness. He hated the people that were righteous. He loved the wages of sin. But look where it got him. God is reserving him for judgment. Is God reserving you for judgment? Is there a Balaam here tonight? If so, God can save you. It's not too late. God can save you. He can bring you to himself. Jesus Christ died for the worst of sinners. You know, Peter was a man of cursing. Just before Jesus went to die on the cross, didn't he do that? Didn't he deny the Lord? Didn't Peter do that? Yes, he did. But the Lord is able to forgive, friends. And he's able to bless. Why? Because there was a one who was cursed for us. The Bible says he was cursed for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. All of our sins are forgiven in Christ. Come to him tonight. Find forgiveness, find peace. Find a way that you can exercise your soul to the glory of God in this life and in the life to come through Jesus Christ. Amen.